నమస్తే ఫ్రెండ్స్ అండ్ సుస్వాగతం అండ్ వెల్కమ్ టు ఆ విరాట్ హిందుస్థాన్ సంఘం సోషల్ మీడియా ఛానల్ అండ్ టు ఆ సండే ప్రోగ్రామ్ వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్ జ్ఞాన్ గంగా. అండ్ టుడే వీ హ్యావ్ అ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ టాపిక్. ద టాపిక్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ఈజ్ ఓకిజం, ఈజ్ ఇట్ క్యామోఫ్లాజ్ ఫర్ మార్క్సిజం. అండ్ వీ హ్యావ్ డాక్టర్ సుబ్రహ్మణ్యం స్వామి ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట 45 minutes డిస్కసింగ్ దిస్ టాపిక్ అండ్ it's a new word, many may not know what it means, so it who better than Dr. Swami to explain this topic. And we have with me my co-host Professor Arvind Chaturvedi from Delhi and Ramesh Swami, and I also have to thank our social media team led by Ashish Shetty, Tejas Navalgul, Ishwar Iyer, Swami Nathan, Rakesh Gadgi, Vishal Mehta and Ajesh Nair for putting this program together week after week. And as you know, today is the 189th episode of Gyan Ganga. And I must thank our viewers, which are spread across the globe in more than 100 countries that watch our program on every Sunday. As you know, we are not only on YouTube or Facebook. We are on Twitter Spaces. We are on podcast and numerous other Instagram and numerous other channels to reach a vast audience which is across the globe. So with these words, it is going to be now Dr. Swami going to explain to us what is wokeism, and as many people say, it could be perhaps old wine in new bottle. And let's hear from Dr. Swami and the other panelists. Thank you.
Thank you, Jagdish. I think I'm proud that Gyan Ganga has brought this topic into the screen, so to speak, for the general public to know of something which is being discussed essentially amongst intellectuals, and the attrition is also taking place within the academic community. And so it's a major development which we need to understand, particularly because after the collapse of the Soviet Union and then the disappearance of Marxism in almost all of Europe, even in China, they, as far as the economy is concerned, they gave up Marxism and communism. And it's only they have retained the regimentation and lack of freedom of choice in politics for the Chinese people. But by and large, China is bereft of communism in the economic sphere. So there has been, therefore, a decision taken by some thinkers who became irrelevant after the collapse of the Soviet Union and socialist states of Europe, to find some other way to come up. In Africa, almost 50 years ago, this concept of wokeism was being discussed more in terms of a person's ability to be qualified and so on and so forth. But an ugly turn was taken after, I think, perhaps in the last 25-30 years, when the universities began getting infected from liberals who couldn't anymore talk about Soviet Union and the Chinese economy and so on. So this form began to grow. And for some reason, why we are interested as Indians is, you know, I began to see that IIT became a matter for real concern, because the people who were coming out of IIT were not pro-left, unlike, say, people coming out of JNU or some Calcutta University or something like that. So the IITs were growing in numbers. Number of IITs were being closed, not closed, it was being set up, and, you know, all over in states, IITs, it was in big demand, and IIT people were acceptable in management schools in the United States. So IIT became a sort of a de facto, I wouldn't say de jure, but de facto anti-Marxist, because they were making profits, going for commercial enterprises, taking creating companies. These are things which attracted the IIT students, and with growing engineering requirements in new inventions and so on, innovations, the IITs became very popular all over the world, and they were in big demand, particularly in the United States. So the issue today that is in focus, and which I and Rajiv Malhotra and myself are going to address Tuesday. We are going to address at Hyderabad in the Central University there, both of us on this topic. And of course, the person who has documented it, this wokeism thoroughly, Rajiv Malhotra. And Rajiv Malhotra is nowadays receiving heckling by professors in wherever he goes to give lectures, which is very unusual, because Rajiv Malhotra is a man of scholarly, he's got scholarly status and so on, but he's not a university professor or a person who's running a course in a university. So it's surprising that leading professors come to his lecture and then heckle him there. And the reason is that Rajiv Malhotra's research is put across to people in a very simplified way. So I'm trying to do the same thing in a much more simplified way in this thing, and to bring out things. So the first thing that I have to deal with is what is called is the definition of wokeism. And that the term was when individuals became more aware of social injustice. It began, the people were being educated, were being told to pursue careers and so on, but at the same time also have my mindset for social justice and so on. The mild form of what the leftists would consider as one of their plaques, but that's how it began. And then it went on to a higher plane. And it began to be wokeism. Woke actually was an African use of the word of awake. And then it became woke. And then from woke, it became wokeism. So Africans used it because they wanted to wake up their people to their rights and so on and so forth. So they used the word woke. And the second level of definition was the state of being aware, especially of social problems, such as racism and inequality. So originally it was, social concerns, whether you're getting, employment, you're not being discriminated against and so on. But now it became the question of racism, that you are being targeted because you are a different race, not because, you come from a foreign country, or you're not well qualified, or you're not up to the what they call the blue level in Boston. So it began to get closer and closer to Marxism, which was the aim of all these unemployed Marxists who thought that this concept is a kind of a sneaky way of returning to basic Nazi concept, basic communist concept. But of course, communism was essentially an economic thing, haves and have-nots and so on. Here it was much more, even if you have you're a have-not, but if you are not a woke or you don't believe in wokeism, then you are a target. And so it was more oppression and the oppressed, that kind of thing that developed. So it became a much wider concept, and it began gaining strength. Now, I would like to mention to you that this question has now become, before I decide to have discussion, I think Ramesh lives in the United States, so he must be more familiar than most Indians, because in India, it's not an issue such a big issue. But I must tell you, this Hindutva concept and this Vishwaguru idea, these are scaring these people that this concept, you know, they of this Indians developing this kind of identity. It's very similar to what happened when the British were here. And the British found that after the 1857 rebellion, that the Indians, are, as the Hindus, they were invited, united. And of course, there were Muslims also who joined Rani Jhansi, for example. But the fact is that the Hindus were, you know, getting up. And it is that time when Macaulay came in and prescribed you know, how English should be brought in, how Sanskrit should be destroyed, and so on, and create a, what he said, and which is what the Voks are saying also today, what he said was, I would like an Indian who has English manners, who dresses like Englishman, who eats like Englishman, eats those what is, those for the for his lunch, dinner, breakfast, which Englishman eats, but is brown in color. And he said Sanskrit is not worth even per se, and it should be burnt. One shelf of British literature is enough for the entire 3,000 years of Sanskrit literature. This is the kind of thing he said in the Parliament of Britain. So Oxford was selected for that. So those who went to Oxford, more than Cambridge, were people who were subjected to, and slowly Oxford, you know, you had Kim Philby and others, these were KGB agents who infiltrated, and whoever went to Oxford came out as a kind of a left-wing type, and Oxford is still suffering from that period. So what Rajiv Malhotra is doing, he's identifying where the targeting is, and he has found what is, what I think is something that he should be congratulated on, how IIT is being debunked in the United States today. So IIT is a target of all the places, Harvard University. Now, of course, there's one thing on which I would perhaps bring to the notice of Rajiv Malhotra. Harvard is actually in two parts. One is the departments which do research. They've got people who are, who couldn't care a damn about the ideology, and they produce research, and that includes the economics department, which has now become extremely mathematical. But the departments such as you know, religion, department of religion, and divinity school, as they call it at Harvard, then about the study of animals, then the history of the evolution, all these aspects, and some centers which have been brought in, financed ironically by Indian businessmen like the Asians, India Center, which I think 4 or 5 industrialists are financed. And these are what are spreading hate against the new mainstream in India. And we are being targeted. I was targeted myself, but I was not targeted by the Department of Economics. In fact, the Department of Economics protested, and they had sent me a letter of they were inviting me every year to come. And I told them I can't come on a annual basis, because that would, you know, cut me off from my politics. But I'm willing to come for a short period. And so they selected the summer school, where the other professors would go on vacation. So they needed somebody, people who were earlier teaching at Harvard, to come so that the standard continues. So I was, from 2000 to 2012, I was coming every year to Harvard to teach. Of course, I have taught at Harvard the faculty level in the 60s and then in the 80s. But in this, from 2000 on to 2012, I was coming every year to teach in the summer school, where students from all over the world used to come to get a taste of Harvard, plus those Harvard students who wanted to keep their studies going at a faster pace, they also used to come to class. So there, Because I had no, I was teaching mathematical economics and the economy of China, so there's nothing I could talk about India. But the Divinity School, then the India Studies group, philosophy department, where people like Amartya Sen were there, they all ganged up and picked up what I was speaking about Hindu, the writing and speaking about in Hindutva in India. Now, there's nothing I said which is wrong. I said India was partitioned in for Hindu, Muslims and Hindus, and those Muslims who want to stay in India, we welcome them. But having welcomed them, they, you know, it should be understood that we want to create one society. We don't want to create two, another India-Pakistan society. So that they took umbrage because I said that in order truly to integrate, we are the same people as far as DNA is concerned, and so on. Then therefore, let our people, adopt the cultural values of Indians, not religious values, but cultural values. So they picked that from which I published in a newspaper in India. And I was very clear that I would come to Harvard only for 3 months. I used to come every year for 3 months, but they targeted me because they felt that with my Harvard background, I would have influence on an area of ideology which is not suitable to the left wing, and that I would nip in bud. And of course, they were right in the sense that the Hindutva thing picked up after I did the Ram Setu matter, protection of the Ram Setu matter, and then I went to liberate temples and got Supreme Court to give an order. So I was, after the Department of Economics wrote me a letter inviting me again to come, they went to a catalog committee, and where nobody goes, no professor goes there, even behind my back, without even asking what did I say, what did I publish, they raise a hue and cry in the catalog committee that won't allow the catalog to pass, which is only to find out whether the printing is good and pictures are good. It's not meant to evaluate anything else, but they cut my course out. And there are all these people who come to India, do Indian studies, they do go and then go and write all kinds of rubbish abroad, which Rajiv Malhotra has completely documented in his new fat book called Snakes in Ganga. And it's a huge book. But he has also put out another set of books, The Battle of IIT. This is a book he has put out with Vijaya Vishwanathan, who's been his co-author in the Snakes in Ganga. Then Varna Jati Caste, yes, brought that. He has published that also. It's a primer for Indian social structures, for those who don't know, especially the westernized. And then he has a nice book called The 10 Heads of Ramana, about those 10 people who are pushing the walk line in our society. So let me just conclude and then go to my colleagues, and then we can have a thing. Let me say that the problem is after the collapse of the Soviet Union and China giving up our communist theology in economics and adopted market system, the whole communist movement, which was built on the economics only and nothing else, got destructed. So this time they decided, these groups which became, they all become dysfunctional, they decided that they'll not go through economics, but they will go through the social thing, social structure. So Brahmins are a special target. I mean, there's no such thing as a Brahmin. If you read Gita says, if you're Gyani, Tyagi, and Asahasi, then you're a Brahmin. And many of the American scholars of this type, they tell me that X, Y, Z of my Indian friends, they are Brahmins. I said, they're not Brahmins. There's no such thing as born Brahmins. It's a guna, as Lord Krishna says. But they more of create this struggle between the Brahmins and non-Brahmins. And that struggle includes saying that the IIT is only for Brahmins. And the people who are coming to the United States are only Brahmins. Of course, the Brahmins are coming. There's no discrimination in the United States against Brahmins. As long as you know the subject they want you to work on. So this caste is the distinction that they're bringing. Of course, I don't believe that caste has got nothing to do with Varna. Varna is fourfold, and it is a choice of occupation that you do. If you are born in any family, if you become a scholar, a jnani, tyagi, sahasi, then you become a Brahmin. So Vishwamitra was born in a Kshatriya family, but he became Maharishi. Same thing is with so many others whom I can name. Even Valmiki was born in a Dalit family, but he became a Maharishi. So, all these distortions are being to create because Brahmins are in a small minority. And therefore, you target them and say, they are taking away everything. All the Brahmins are taking over all the scholarships. All the Brahmins are taking all the admission and so on. So that targeting and destroying the IIT has been one of their targets. And therefore, that's why we have to take it seriously. Otherwise, who cares for them? They don't exist. The Hindus are 80% and we are all over the country. Now we are much more conscious of our own identity, and it is being explained by all enlightened sadhus and sannyasis around the country. So this is not any issue for us inside, but they are creating this concept of poisoning the society, and therefore we have to deal with it. So now I would say that while the original idea was wokeism as a theory of behavior and attitudes of people, as also being sensitive to social and political issues and injustices. So from that, it has now gone into a situation where you are targeting, as far as India is concerned, you are targeting a sector of our society, which is part of our intellectual capital, so that India doesn't progress. And that is what the danger is. And therefore, it's a very big subject. I can speak for hours. But there was a time when Oxford University, all those people who had to become communists went there. And then KGB agents like Kim Philby and others who used to come and give lectures and convert people and make them into communists. That's how it was being done at that time. And so, because the British felt it's better for an Indian to be a communist than a nationalist. And so they were very hard on nationalists, whether it was Savarkar or anybody else. You see, all nationalists were targeted, and especially Hindu nationalists were, Hindu-minded nationalists were targeted. So, but if they were people who were not likely to be coming over to become Christians or something, for them, they then began this, training them in English habits and so on, so that they abhor anything Hindu. So that is kind of thing is now come in a different way, that talent is today, they say, is cornered by vested interests, the Brahmins in a small section, and the poor, the Dalits, etc. They are not getting anything at all, which is not true. There are examples of Dr. Ambedkar. Ambedkar was the one who wrote the, piloted the Constitution of India. Ambedkar was a scholar. He got a PhD from Columbia University. And his Brahmin teacher actually sent him to Columbia University in 1916. And that person remained steadfast till Jawaharlal Nehru broke his heart, and then he became a Buddhist. And at that time, all the Muslim leaders, Christian leaders, all went to his house to Ambedkar, saying, hey, join us, we'll take you up. He said, no, I belong to this country, and in this country, this is the culture. I can't go outside that. So we have that tradition, but it's not enough for individuals to be strong. We want this to be this conspiracy against Hinduism and India's culture. We have to deal with it directly. I would still would like to emphasize Harvard's Department of Economics. Each of them is innocent of all this. This comes in with the non-departmental part and those parts which deal with the guesswork analysis. They are the ones who are doing it. So to say blanket Harvard, then it will prejudice many of our people who think this is a fine place where everybody is desiring to go and get educated, and they do get educated. But if just because there is a fringe element at Harvard which is making life miserable for some of us, that doesn't mean that we should denounce it. And I think certainly this is something I've explained to Rajiv Malhotra, but he has a narrative problem. In the narrative, we can't go on making cutting it so fine. You have to say it in block terms. So Harvard University is playing the role of Oxford University, and his object is to bring in people of inferior academic value, but bring it into those departments where it doesn't matter, and then they with this label of Harvard University professor, and they try to give this legitimacy. I think recently there are a few Tamil professors who have come who are now spewing this kind of hatred, which the DMK does in India. So we have to now start alerting our people. So this is the first time that we are having this expose, and this will continue in different forums so that the whole country becomes conscious of the conspiracy against India in the name of wokeism. Over to you, to Jagdish or to Ramesh. Ramesh, I think, is supposed to come in next. I'm not wrong.
Ramesh, thank you, Dr. Swami.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Swami. As you had said, Rajiv Malhotra has done a phenomenal job in exposing this wokeism agenda that is spreading like cancer in the U.S., Dr. Swami. So what started earlier, it was a mainstream Marxism based on economics, failed. So that permeated into the universities, and it has taken, as we say, a demonic form or a huge form in the universities today, because most of the universities in America are completely left woke. They've gone extreme left. Their logic is very simple. You're either with us or you're not with us. So it is going completely a radicalization of ideas to destroy a local culture. So it has gone to that extent. And now, if you don't, the point, Dr. Swami, is that if you don't agree with them, they just don't accept you, and either you're a racist, you're discrimination, you're complete, you're against race, gender, whatnot. It's just permeated into a lot. For example, Stanford has 75 different genders that somebody can identify with, and pronouns are 180, 190 pronouns. People can call themselves anything they want. I mean, universities are a place for education. People come there to learn something and just get what you want. You get educated, and you have other things. You can agree to disagree, but there is no room for disagreeing with the leftist agenda today, Dr. Swami. That's how the colleges in the U.S. have gone. Now they're trying to permeate that into the schools. Even if at a high school level, maybe the kids have something to think about. No, Dr. Swami, at a kindergarten level, these days, teachers are telling their children at first grade, even at a kindergarten level, saying that you can choose your gender. And this is a dangerous movement that's happening in America, which is definitely, I mean, it's a matter of time before it starts spreading into India, Dr. Swami. And as you rightly pointed out, the first threat that's happening is attack to institutions. They're starting off with IITs. They're starting at that level where the brightest of the Indians get in. So you kind of indoctrinate them into thinking that these things are normal, that you can do whatever you want, and then it starts spreading. Because once you do it in IIT, other colleges start to emulate, and it's just it's basically an unstoppable train after that. I mean, it's what they failed earlier, as you said, the Muslims for 800 years ruled India, 200 years of British, 200, 300. They couldn't convert. We are still 70%, or you know, not about Hindus. They're still not able to find out what the culture is all about. The new agenda is attack all of this is saying that you are, you know, anti-race, or you know, you're casteist. Ridiculously, Seattle said caste discrimination should be eliminated. What has caste got to do with America? I really don't understand that. And now, 2 days ago, Dr. Swami, a Toronto high school district have said caste is a very important problem in the schools. They have said that in Canada. It is amazing that people don't even understand what caste is. And idiots up in some of these school boards come up with some kind of ridiculous arguments like these and saying caste exists in the Western world. Caste has been abolished in India 70 years ago. They want to keep on, you know, blowing this fire up, continuing to say that casteism exists. Now casteism exists in America. It is unbelievable, Dr. Swami, where this wokeism agenda is moving along. Because when they failed earlier on the economic side, they're now moving it on the cultural and mindset side, and they're pushing. At least if it ends in the universities to some extent, now the corporates in America have also taken this up very sadly, because yes, the corporates need to make sure there is a equality among people you hire. There is a good strike of balance between men and women in this. Now it has gone in full wokeness mode, saying, you know, they're taking some of these extreme measures into the corporate world as well. So some of the corporates are going crazy over this. And it is getting a serious impact on normal people, because, for example, Dr. Swami, I know a lot of people who have been working, they have been booted out in the past 1 year, saying that they have to bring in equality. In the name of equality, they're being fired, because it's not because of performance. They're revenue generators, but they're getting fired purely because saying, oh no, we got to strike a balance. We need to have a, yes, you can strike a balance, but it doesn't mean that whatever people are performing can be counted. You bring in as an agenda, you say, okay, we will achieve this at a certain level, right? As we move forward, we're going to get into this. No, that's it. It's a cut and paste, because today, for my marketing purposes, this is important. So I have to show outside, and some of the CEOs have gone mad over this in bringing this agenda. The basic wokeness, Dr. Swami, is very clear. It's to destroy the social fabric of a country, and India is very vulnerable. And because time and again, communism tried to spread in India, and basically in the colleges, it failed because people have gone off the off late. Every guy who's in college wants to get a good job. They want to have a good, you know, wear good dress shirt. They want to have the best. You can't be a communist and get all of those things. So they moved over there. So economically, the Marxism has failed. Now they're bringing in this gender, all this equality and all these things back and trying to see if we can destroy the fabric of the culture or the society. Bring in equality. There is nothing wrong about it. You know, the most important factor is don't destroy the social fabric. Educate them and bring them up instead of saying, if you don't agree with us, you're a racist or something like that. They want to divide again and conquer. Because this is the new way of them to start dividing and conquering, you know, multiple societies across the globe. The funniest part, Dr. Swami, the Marxism started in Russia. You go to Russia and China, you try any of your wokeism nonsense there, good luck with it. They're not going to accept it. Forget it. It's not. They're very clear. Russia and China is concerned, none of this wokeism works. You know, whether it exists as a subculture is a different issue. But India needs to be wary of this. America is suffering. When America goes through one phase after the other, we have gone through this thing. You know, there's the Occupy Wall Street. That was a huge wave that was created, but then it died. It didn't have traction. Now the new traction is wokeism. And it's spreading like wildfire, Doctor. I mean, people are getting fed up at some point in time, because when you start teaching a three-year-old to say you can choose to be a girl or a boy, that really crosses the line, because that's the job of the parent. The teachers, instead of teaching them math, science, or whatever thing, educating them in what they're supposed to be educated, instead of them coming into the class and talk about gender issues, which is actually a responsibility of the parent to decide what they want to do, that's breaking out the society, Dr. Swami, and that India needs to be watchful about. It could start spreading. It doesn't spread anywhere else. In America, it does. to some extent, the UK is also getting into that, Europe to some parts. But once it gets into more conservative countries, the Middle East, India, it's not going to fly, but India is very vulnerable to this. And Rajiv Malhotra has done a phenomenal job documenting all of this. I think multiple speeches as we hear about him, and he's just exposing one hypocrisy after another of all these people. Yeah, and then see, you said you're going to have a session on Tuesday. I think all of the viewers should, you know, if possible, attend it, because it's an invite-only event in Hyderabad. Hopefully, we'll have a video up after a few days. It is some eye-opening is what Rajiv has been doing so far. Over to you, Jagdish.
Dr. Swami, many of the viewers would like to know that would this movement of yokism succeed in India, or at least have some roots in India, because India's ancient culture and all that. So many of the viewers like to know whether it can strike roots in India.
Let Arvind first finish his presentation, then I will take this question up.
Yeah, thank you. What Ramesh has described, I think, and what you had earlier mentioned about the dimensions which Rajiv Malhotra in his recent books has identified, I think it is very serious. Call it wokeism, call it any other name. You know, these are set of people who are trying to attack the right wing, flourishing Hinduism or flourishing Sanatan sect, because people are now realizing 20 years back or 30 years back in India, people were ashamed even to call themselves Hindu, because there were secular people were so powerful. And now once they have started asserting, Sanatan people have started asserting themselves, this group of people are trying to find newer dimensions every day. It is no more economics. When we said, is it a camouflage for Marxism? Marxism was more regarding the economic aspect, or exploitation, or bourgeois, or oppressor, or the oppressed. But these people are trying to find out newer dimensions, even beyond Marxism. For example, what Ramesh had described, in India, for last 15-20 years, this LGBTQ community, they have been, you know, trying to assert themselves and coming out openly, and they want to be recognized. Of course, the Supreme Court had removed 177 and all that, and maybe the legal system in India has also been supporting without knowing the dangers of this. But I think the dangers are very serious. And there is a challenge to the right-wing Sanatan people attacking Hinduism, because they have asserted and they have flourished and they have succeeded. And therefore, whether it is Harvard you're talking about, whether other universities in US, for example, even this concept of Dalit. Of course, Dalit is an economic concept. It actually comes from Marxism. But the way they are trying to divide Hindu community by saying, you know, what is this Bhim concept? Bhim concept, the Jai Bhim, they are opposing to Jai Shri Ram. And the basically idea is that Dalit are not part of Hindus. And there are certain people, a huge group on Twitter and social media, which they call themselves the Mool Nivasi. They call themselves the Mool Nivasi. And this Mool Nivasi means these upper caste people are attackers, and you know, Arya Dividian theory. So this is actually a whole concept, and it is they're not isolated. There are different groups which are attacking Hinduism from different corners and now consolidating themselves. Therefore, the danger should be identified and challenged.
Well, I think Jagdish wanted to know whether this is a spreading thing in India or not. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, see, I have seen politics now from 1970, and that makes it 53 years. And I've been six times Member of Parliament, been twice Minister. So I've seen a variety of levels. This society of ours, which is predominantly Hindu society, is still 80%, is something which all predictions have gone awry. I remember that during the emergency, people used to say that this democracy is, you know, only these Western educated and, you know, these English educated Indians know about democracy. We have a tradition of Rajas, Maharajas, this blah, blah, and all that. And so Indira Gandhi has now become a kind of a Maharani. And so there will never be a democracy again. And when the elections were held, they said, you know, what poor people know, they want something to eat and they so on and so forth. They are definitely going to vote for. Some educated people may vote for Janata Party and so on. But in the truth, what we found is that these poor people of Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, Rajasthan, Punjab, Haryana, all these northern states, they voted bulk against Indira Gandhi. And the educated South India, Andhra, the undivided Andhra, then Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Kerala, they voted in overwhelming majority for Congress Party, that is Indira Gandhi's Congress Party. How do you explain that? You see, Kerala has almost 90% education. Tamil Nadu has got 83-84% education. All these are highly educated people. The most uneducated part of India voted for democracy, and the most educated part voted for dictatorship. So there is something about India's culture which those who have not become anglicized, they value, they think. That's why so many of these celebrations we have, people do it. No government is giving them agenda that, you know, today, this day and day you will celebrate this and that, you will celebrate that. It's they spontaneously people go to in these huge numbers to give a dip in Ganga. No government is making any arrangements for that, except perhaps law and order, but there's no need. In almost all the Kumbh Melas, there's been hardly any violence at all. Huge, you know, crores and crores of people coming. So I am not worried about the wokeism succeeding in India. But we have to teach them a lesson. You dare to strike tease a lion, well, the lion is going to retaliate. And it can't go on like this, you see. You have no business. Who are you to tell us whether the IIT is good or bad? Don't take our students. The entire business community in the United States is looking forward now to you. You see, the Americans have nominated Sardarji as a World Bank president. And there are so many Indians now coming in various places. Now, these people who are, troublemakers, who don't want American society to be, an integrated society, they are the ones who are creating all this. So I think what I am trying to put across is, let us be ready for this. We are going to win. Of that, there is no doubt. And India is going to prosper. India is going to come up. We may, as being democracies, we can criticize each other. That's all right. But the fact is that democracy has survived the most vile attack which took place during the emergency. We have survived wars. We have survived invasions. And we survived brutal rules of 500 years, which the Islamic forces did. And we survived all that. And you are still in this, your past, your glories of the past are all being remembered and are practiced. So I am not worried about that angle. I am only worried, I am only of the view that we are in a position to smack them out of, and send them into orbit around the earth. These people who are thinking that they can subvert our country and in the name of wokeism. As far as the poor are concerned, we have provided for them in the Constitution. There are people who have risen despite all the obstacles placed. Ambedkar was the person who moved and prepared our Constitution. And we have had people who are become presidents of India who come from the poorest part of India. So, we are doing this in a slow by slow way. This is a country which has remained integrated. All our neighbors have broken into pieces, but we have not broken into pieces, except what the British got done and went away. After that, we have not broken up. Everybody said India would break into 20 countries. I remember President Nixon coming to India and then saying that India deserves to be broken to 20 countries, but he didn't come as a president. He was a candidate. He came here and he announced that Winston Churchill said we won't last for 2 years. And so, but we have overthrown. We are the only country which has overthrown every invader. We have not been assimilated by any invader. No, our religion could not be changed by any invader. So these are a few people hanging out in Harvard or anywhere else. They aren't going to make much difference. But at the same time, we can't be complacent. And that is why this program was held today.
Yeah, but Dr. Swami, we must also identify, for example, you took one example of Harvard University opposing your article written in one magazine, newspaper called DNA, on terrorism. There are universities in India which are also becoming centers. I mean, call them Vokri or call them by any other name. I would say they are left liberals. In social media, the term uses L-E-L-I, Lely or Lele, whatever, basically for liberals. And these are the people, as I said, religion is their target, but they are not only targeting religion. So they are identifying anything around religion, whether it is casteism or whether it is the methods of worshipping or so many different things which affect the social structure and social practices, and therefore they need to be challenged, and we, the people against such element, must consolidate themselves and oppose them and take them head on.
Arvindji, one thing I disagree with you, it's just not religion generically. Hindus, Sanatana Dharma, they will not dare attack Islam, they will not dare attack Christianity and try to bring in wokeism within those two religions. Impossible. Maybe in America, Christianity is the easy take, but forget, it's not going to happen in India. Or globally, Islam can never be infiltrated because they are very staunch in their beliefs. What is missing in what we are not strong, we don't stick together. You should appreciate people who follow Islam in this way because they will not tolerate all these things coming into their religion. Don't bring my religion into all your wokeism. It doesn't work there. But the easiest targets are the so-called Christians in America or the West that are slowly giving away values because Christianity is dying by the droves in America, literally dying by the droves. And slowly they're trying to bring this, if we can do this to Christianity, let's start doing it to the only other religion that's bothering us, which is Hinduism. So that is the target. That's why I said India should be aware. India should be woke about wokeism. That's important because let us take a one-upmanship of this wokeism that is coming into India. Be aware because unfortunately in America, I think a lot of things, even Sri has told this multiple times, the family fabric is very, very weak, unfortunately. Some pockets are very good, but in general, it is very bad. So unfortunately, that is why in India, we should not allow this to happen because the families are giving away their responsibility to somebody else to teach them about their culture, which is where all this indoctrination comes into play.
Yeah.
And it is spreading. And the biggest impact are Indian Hindus. Dr. Swami, I'll give you one more example. I'm talking about Indians in information technology. Men are considered as white. So I'm telling you, in this gender neutralization and all this, where there is no discrimination, Indian men, Asian men, I'd rather rephrase it, Asian men are considered white. So you are as likely to lose your job as a white person. There's no difference. They don't see a difference. Then comes after that, so they are driving towards other people of color, women of any color, even whites, but even in women of color, white is a level lower, but then that's where this is going, unfortunately, in corporate America, saying that I have faced this myself. I don't want to disclose it on this channel yet, but I will share with you later. I have personally faced this, saying that you are an Asian male, even though I am a minority, as per the American laws, we will not give you projects or we will not work with you because you are an Asian. That's the status of America today. So India has to be aware, because this program, being whether it's happening in America is one part, Dr. Swami, we should make sure that this doesn't permeate or allowed to permeate in India. Dr. Swami, I have only one question. I read yesterday or today that the Indian government is filing an affidavit in the Supreme Court about same-sex marriages. I don't understand. Is this something that has the court asked the government to respond, or is this some involuntary push by the government?
No, it is a court notice. And we have the government has objected to it.
Because it, again, things like this, Dr. Swami, and my guess is a lot of people have been saying on Twitter, saying that irrespective of whatever the government says, the disposition is that, it's not going to work for the government, for whatever be the case. Indian society needs to be aware of where this is going. Please take care of what you do with your own children and your society and be careful about it. Because the so-called caste system or the caste discrimination that all the DMK, riffraffs and goons spread has got nothing to do with Brahminism, or this. That's what they call it, the Brahminical patriarchy. That's what there are only 2% or less than 2% of Brahmins in Tamil Nadu. All this is happening between people who are not so-called Brahmins. It is only the people in those castes that are upper and lower. They fight amongst themselves. It's got nothing to do with the Brahmins, but Brahmins being spineless, boneless wonders, cowards to the core, they just stay silent. And they accept this on their head in Tamil Nadu. It is a shame. I mean, what else to do? That's what they are. And they're afraid since we are a minority. But on the other hand, I thought, Swami, if the 98% are afraid that the 2% will take over, I feel the 2% is more powerful.
Yes, Jagdish. We have run out of time, I think.
Yeah. Arvind?
Yeah, okay. I think this subject is little broader, and it cannot really we cannot confine itself in 1 hour program. But I think the 14th March, Dr. Swami is going to be in Hyderabad, which is also one of the center of wokeism, Dr. Swami, and Central University of Hyderabad. I mean, this is where the it originated from. And in India, I think Ramesh had pointed out, some other viewers have also pointed out, these people are targeting our young elements, that is, people in the universities. I did not name any university. I mean, Hyderabad was just an incident because you are going there. But there are many other universities, even in North India, where the GNU kind of the infectious elements are coming and using this concept. And therefore, as I said earlier, that people like you, Rajiv Malhotra, and similar minded people should take up this challenge and fight them head on. And it is time, because they should not be allowed to spread like this. And government of India, maybe they're not challenged directly, so they're not affected, and therefore they're not taking any measures. But so, as a society, we have a responsibility on us to take this challenge take measures to arrest this trend. Thank you very much, Dr. Swami, for bringing out this issue very timely. And Ramesh had described this with his US experience. And I hope the Indian who are in the US are not so much affected to bring that thing to India. Thank you very much, Jagdish. Our technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Swaminathan, Vishal Mehta, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Tejas Navalgul, and Ajesh Nair. We will be meeting again next Sunday at 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time with a new program with Dr. Subramani Swami and an intellectual debate which many other channels do not provide. And therefore, as Jagdish had said in the beginning, our support base, our viewers are increasing in numbers in more than 110 countries, actually. And they are supporting us. Thank you very much, viewers, for supporting us. Next Sunday, 8 p.m., another topic with Dr. Subramani Swami. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.